Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam 6 Canto, Chapter 5, Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, Text 20. I'm going to say my prayers, and I hope that you'll join along with me asking for the blessings of our spiritual masters and the Lord, that there might be some value in this attempt at glorification. Benefit for me, benefit for you. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Disatarane Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki. I wanted to share one little quick pastime. Srila Prabhupada one time was in an airport. He was getting ready to get on an airplane to fly elsewhere in his preaching. All the devotees were crowded around, more devotees than this. They had taken over the gate. The airline could hardly manage all the passengers who were going to need to get on the airplane. They spoke to the person they thought was managing devotees. His name was Rupanuga Prabhu, a great general of days gone by, a leader of our movement. And so he made the announcement, "Would all the devotees please stand up and leave the gate area?" When he made that announcement, all the devotees, including Srila Prabhupada, stood up and started to leave. And Rupanuga Prabhu said, "No, no, no, Srila Prabhupada, you stay, you sit, please." All the other devotees. The reason why I brought this up, I'd noticed it in giving classes to our Russian Prabhus in the other building. And this is a bigger venue, and it's a little bit more disjointed. Don't mind me saying this. I'm sharing an observation that was mentioned to me, and I was going, yeah, I've had the same experience. A little bit more unified atmosphere in that classroom with the Russian Prabhus. And I was wondering if I could fold my hands and shake you out of your comfort zone just a little bit. Would you, Prabhus, please, especially those sitting on the floor, please come in closer. I won't bite. Find a fan. Turn on this fan for the Prabhus. I'm sorry. For myself, I didn't want, but turn on this fan. Come on in close. Don't be shy, Matajis. Please. And at this point, I said to, there's only 4 devotees in chairs. Stand up. Turn around, pick up your chair, bring it on in closer. That means you. Let's bring it together, please. Now, I want to ask, when we were chanting prayers to our disciplic succession to Srila Prabhupada, were you hoping that I could say something of value? Were you hoping that you could hear? Do you mind raising your hands? Just curious. How many compassion? Oh, God bless the Vaishnavas. It's a minority, though. You've heard my prayer twice, my request. Can I show you how easy it is? I learned this from the twins. Everybody, lift up your hand, your right hand like this, like you're telling somebody to stop. Mataji? Okay. Now repeat after me. Tatashtu. That means so be it, let it be, let the blessings rain down upon all of us. It wasn't that hard, was it? One more time. Tatashtu. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrindike. Srimad Bhagavatam. Shastrasya Patur Adesham. Yona Veda Nivartakam. Katam Tadanu Rupaya. Guna Vishrambya Pakramet. Shastrasya Patur Adesham. Yona Veda Nivartakam. Katam Tadana Rupaya. Guna Vishrambya Pakramet. Shastrasya Patur Adesham. Yona Veda Nivartakam. Katam Tadana Rupaya. Guna Vishrambya. Before you chant, it's not unusual that our enthusiastic young devotees jump right in and chant. The etiquette actually is you should try and be a little patient, and maybe one or two of the senior devotees would like to chant first. Having said that, they probably won't, since I put the spotlight on them, but that's the etiquette. So be that as it may, please, a couple of Prabhus, would you chant the verse? Shastrasya Patur Adesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Ketam Tadana Rupaya Guna Vishrambya Kukrakme. Maharaj. Shatrasya Pitaradesham. Yona Veda Vartakam. Kitam Tadana Rupaya. Guna Vishrambya Pukrame. Shastrasya Pitaradesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam Tadana Rupaya Guna Vishrambya Pakrame. One more. Shastrasya Pitaradesham Yona Veda Nivartakam Katam Tadana Rupaya Guna Vishrambya Pakrame. Now this first word, it's really important. I know for a fact that some of the Prabhus on watching on the internet, some of my friends, they don't know Sanskrit. This word, Shastrasya, it means of the scriptures. So in this purport about, I didn't count, but there, Srila Prabhupada is going to say the word Shastra about 15 to 20 times. When we hear the word Shastra, it means scriptures. So Shastrasya of the scriptures, Pitu of the Father, Adesham, the instruction. Nya, one who. Na, not. Veda,
Veda
understands.
Nivartakam,
which brings about the cessation of the material way of life. Katam,
how?
Tat anurupaya, to follow the instruction of the Shastras, scriptures. Gunavishrambi, a person entangled in the three modes of material nature. Upakramate, can engage in the creation of progeny. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had asked how one could ignorantly defy one's own father. The Haryasvas understood the meaning of this question. One must accept the original instructions of the Shastra. According to Vedic civilization, one is offered a second thread as a sign of second birth. One who takes his second birth by dint of having received instructions in the Shastra from a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, Shastra, scripture, is the real father. All the Shastras instruct that one should end his material way of life. If one does not know the purpose of the father's orders, the Shastras, he's ignorant. The words of a material father who endeavors to engage his son in material activities are not the real instructions of the father. A very nice purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita 16:7 says, Pravittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidur asara. Demons who are less than human beings but are not called animals do not know the meaning of pravritti and nivritti. Here's the meaning: work to be done and work not to be done. In the material world, every living entity has a desire to lord it over the material world as much as possible. This is called pravritti marg. All the Shastras, however, advise nivritti marg, or release from the materialistic way of life. Apart from the Shastras of the Vedic civilization, which is the oldest of the world, other Shastras agree on this point. For example, in the Buddhist Shastras, Lord Buddha advises that one achieve nirvana by giving up the materialistic way of life. In the Bible, which is also Shastra, one will find the same advice. One should cease materialistic life and return to the kingdom of God. In any Shastra one may examine, especially the Vedic Shastra, the same advice is given. One should give up his materialistic life and return to his original spiritual life. Shankaracharya also propounds the same conclusion, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. This material world or materialistic life is simply illusion, and therefore one should stop his illusory activities and come to the platform of Brahman. The word Shastra refers to the scriptures, particularly in the Vedic books of knowledge, or particularly the Vedic books of knowledge. The Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, and any other books deriving knowledge from these Vedas are considered Vedic literatures. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, and therefore it is the scripture whose instruction should be especially accepted. In the essence of all Shastras, Krishna personally advises that one give up all other duties and surrender unto him. Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. One should be initiated into following the principles of Shastra. In offering initiation, our Krishna consciousness movement asks one to come to the conclusion of Shastra by taking the advice of the supreme speaker of the Shastra, Krishna, forgetting the principles of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, The principles we advise are no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These four types of engagement will enable an intelligent person to get free from the materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. In regard to the instructions of the father and mother, it may be said that every living entity, including even the insignificant cats, dogs, and serpents, take birth of a father and mother. Therefore, getting a material father and mother is not a problem. In every form of life, birth after birth, the living entity gets a father and mother. In human society, however, if one is satisfied with his material father and mother and their instructions, and does not make further progress by accepting a spiritual master and being educated in the shastras, he certainly remains in darkness. The material father and mother are important only if they are interested in educating their son or daughter to become free from the clutches of death. As instructed by Rishabhdev, Bhagavatam 5.5.18, Pitanasa Shaj Janani Nasa Shat Namochayedya Samapetam Rityam. One should not strive to become a mother or father if one cannot save one's dependent son from the impending danger of death. A person who does not know how to save his son has no value, because such fathers and mothers may be had in any form of life, even among the cats, dogs, and so on. Only a father and mother who can elevate their son to the spiritual platform are bona fide parents. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudra. One is born of a material father and mother as a Shudra. The purpose of life, however, is to become a Brahmana, a first class man. A first class intelligent man is called a Brahmana because he knows the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth. According to the Vedic instructions, tad vijnanartham sagarum eva bigache. To know this science, one must approach a bona fide guru, a spiritual master, who will initiate the disciple with the sacred thread so that he may understand the Vedic knowledge. Janmana jayate sudra samskara di vivedujaha. Becoming a brahmana through the endeavor of a bona fide spiritual master is called samskara. After initiation, one is engaged in the study of the shastra, which teaches the student how to gain release from materialistic life and return home back to Godhead. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching this higher knowledge of retiring from materialistic life to return to Godhead. But unfortunately, many parents are not very satisfied with this movement. Aside from the parents of our students, many businessmen are also dissatisfied because we teach our students to abandon intoxication, meat eating, illicit sex, and gambling. If the Krishna conscious movement spreads, the so-called businessmen will have to close their slaughterhouses, breweries, and cigarette factories. Therefore, they're also very much afraid. However, we have no alternative than to teach our disciples to free themselves from materialistic life. We must instruct them in the opposite of material life to save them from the repetition of birth and death. Narada Muni therefore advised the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, that instead of begetting progeny, it would be better to leave and achieve the perfection of spiritual understanding according to the instructions of the shastras. The importance of the shastras is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 16:23. Yashastra vidim utsrija vartate kamakaratah nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. One who disregards the injunctions of the shastras, the injunctions of the scriptures, and acts whimsically as he likes, never achieves the perfection of life, not to speak of happiness, nor does he return home to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki. I told you it was a wonderful purport. Who doesn't want to be happy in this world? Everyone has their concept of perfection. And a few fortunate souls have heard about, have developed the desire, and are acting upon that desire to try and get out of this material world and go back to our spiritual home, back to the kingdom of God. To accomplish that, any of those goals, one should worship Krishna. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udardi. Tivrena bhakti yogena. With strong desire, determination, one should worship Krishna. Why? So that he can go back home to Godhead. Or he can fulfill his material desires. Or maybe he simply wants to become liberated, giving up his identity and merge into Nirvana, Buddhist, or into the Brahman, Mayavadis. Whatever one's desire, the scriptures, especially the Vedic scriptures, they give facility for that. Srila Prabhupada says that all the Vedic scriptures are giving instruction how to get back home, back to Godhead, how to become free of materialistic life. That's not easy. It's not easy at all. We've been in this material world since time immemorial. Kicked around like a soccer ball from one body to another. And what do we get for it? Well, you could say the pleasures of life. But Srila Prabhupada in the scriptures, our father, is telling us, what are those pleasures? They're all temporary. The sex that humans enjoy is the same pleasure that the dogs, the horses, the snakes, even the cockroaches are enjoying. Eating. We may be eating a nice, big, sumptuous feast, but that feeling of satisfaction of the belly, the animals get the same feeling. Do you think when you're lying on your big, soft, comfortable bed, memory foam, adjustable numbers for how hard or soft you want the bed, do you think your consciousness, your pleasure of sleeping is any better than the lower species when they are asleep? No, none of these. These pleasures are like the trinkets that were given to the Native Americans by the Europeans coming to America. They gave them land. They gave them food when they were in need. They gave them so much. And what did they give them? Broken pieces of glass, maybe a little mirror, something in return of so little value. All scriptures advise, this is not our home. The other night, some of us heard Gyanagami Prabhu on an interview give a nice analogy. When you're in a burning house, it's on fire. You don't stop to rearrange the furniture, the pictures. No, you get out as quickly as you can. But unless you awaken to the fact that you are suffering, unless you hear from the scripture, and the scriptures aren't going to go, wake up, sleeping soul. No, unless you hear the scriptures spoken by the devotees of the Lord, you're not going to know there is another alternative. Our real home is in the spiritual world. Maybe some of you can relate with this example. I come to Mayapur as often as I can. I have to have a bona fide visa. Even though my heart is here, I can't just stay here. There's something called the Indian government. And if they don't allow me to stay here, kicked out. I got my activities, I've got my home. Kicked out. And it's the same way with this body. We consider it us. It is not us. That's the beginning miscalculation. We have an identity crisis. Every conditioned living entity in this world thinks they are the body. And in the human form of life, we think we're the mind also. We're neither of those. We may be slaves to the dictates of the senses and the mind, but we are not either one. The interests of the body and the mind are not our own. We have been swindled. We have been conned. We have been cheated by this material energy, deluding us into thinking that we are something other than eternal spiritual beings with an eternal relationship with Krishna. To break that amnesia, that disease, that illusion, takes determined, strong steps in leaving behind the illusion. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he didn't mess around. Once he had a small following, and once he saw they were attached to Krishna, they had attachment to him, attachment to chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And maybe most importantly, attached to prasadam, food offered to the Lord, spiritualized food that the Lord has accepted because of the devotion in which it was offered. Because when Srila Prabhupada saw they were attached, then he said, okay, now here's the do-nots. These have been the do's. Never give them up. These are the do-nots. And these are the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no meat eating. Why? One might ask. Lord Zetlin, when given the answer, can I be made a Brahmin? Can I take second birth? Can I become spiritually realized? Yes, very easily. Chant Hare Krishna and follow these regulative principles of freedom. And you too can become free. He said, impossible. Because he thought that's what constitutes pleasure. It is not what constitutes pleasure. And even if you want to give, okay, a little concession, what is that pleasure? A drop of desert to the thirsty, lost soul in the desert of this material world. One drop of water for the parched tongue. Nothing compared to the unlimited spiritual happiness of serving Krishna in his spiritual abode. By giving up illicit sex, we don't say sex, we say illicit sex. Like this whole chapter is about a need for children being given birth to populate the universe. There's a need for devotees to be brought into this world to spread the message of Krishna's devotional service. That is the use for sex. Devotees are qualified, or they are learning the process to become qualified to be bona fide mothers and fathers. If you follow religious procreation, then one does not lose the quality of cleanliness. By restricting oneself from illicit sex, one becomes clean. By giving up gambling, the propensity of gambling, you become truthful. By giving up meat eating, you become, excuse me, it seems the opposite. You would think it was mercy, but it's actually austerity. Look in the 7th chapter of the 1st canto. And giving up the last one, intoxication, one becomes merciful. These are all good qualities. These are actually qualities of the soul. But who has these qualities? Very rare to find. Maybe sometimes, but then when things don't go my way and you step on my foot, you're not scratching my back, then I'll lie to your face to get what I want, what I need. One will not be austere, one will not be clean. It said demons. When we say demons, we don't mean little people with pitchforks and horns on their head. We mean people who are ignorant of the instructions of Krishna found in the scriptures, or even knowing them, they don't give a dang. I'm going to do what I want. It was elaborated very nicely yesterday. What I want. That's exploitive. That's the definition of a taker. That is demoniac. It's neither good for you nor for anybody else. those who follow the injunctions of the scriptures given to us by the devotees of the Lord, they develop the qualities of the soul. By following the process of devotional service, one becomes soul realized, self realized. The first day you walk into the door, you will hear devotees tell you, you're not that body. You're spirit soul. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. Sambandha Abhideya Priyojana. You get it right in the very beginning. And the instructions, the philosophy is repeated every day, heard every day. But the realization of these instructions is a little more difficult than simply repeating them. No question about it. Second birth, you get it only by surrendering to the spiritual master and following his instructions. He's not making up this stuff. It's the scriptures. The scriptures are the instructions, the knowledge descending from the kingdom of God by those who are his representatives or by the Lord himself, as in Bhagavad Gita. By accepting those spiritual instructions, the spiritual knowledge which is not of this world, if given by a true representative of the Lord, that representative is not of this world. And by following those instructions, getting the blessings of such a devotee, of the spiritual master, one becomes realized, understanding we are not of this world. We are not this body. The analogy is given of the coconut when it drops off the tree. To begin with, you know, you got our dobs, we're drinking them, it's hot, etc. But if you let them ripen, sooner or later, the meat inside the coconut becomes disassociated from that shell. In the same way, when you realize you're not the body, you don't think I'm this man, you're a woman, I'm 60 years old, I'm an American. All those things are temporary designations. You become detached from all those. Now, the opposite of material life is what we're seeking. Most people, by their own intelligence, if they're not taking advantage of the instructions of Guru, are simply imagining that my real identity is oneness with spirit. Individuality, activity, desire is an illusion. It's lost. No. Beyond that is the realm, the spiritual kingdom of Krishna and his transcendental expansions, where the majority of souls, spiritual persons, are engaged in loving activities, loving service to him, receiving his loving kindness, his loving reciprocation. We have to take seriously the process of devotional service given to us by the spiritual master so that we can have practical realization of we are eternal spiritual beings. When Srila Prabhupada says it's very difficult to run a spiritual movement in the material world, the reason being is because most of us are still on the intellectual platform of Krishna consciousness. One who realizes he's the body, he doesn't have a problem reciprocating with devotees. He doesn't have a problem reciprocating with conditioned souls. He doesn't think in terms of friend and enemy, or I'm better than you, I deserve more than you. He doesn't think like that at all. The realized person, the spiritual being, realizes I'm one tiny, insignificant spiritual person with, you can't even put a number on it, how many other spiritual beings there are in this one tiny universe. It's inconceivable how many there are. And we're all of the same nature, eternal spiritual beings. When you take shelter of the spiritual master, submissively, you serve him, you inquire, you hear with service-inclined senses this process, this science, then you will receive the truth, you will realize the truth, and when you realize the truth, you'll realize that all others are also spiritual beings, that they are in Krishna and they are part of Krishna. You don't exploit or take from such people. You offer all respects to such living entities. And those who also are on the same process, you give them special respect. You try to help them in any way you can. They're trying to surrender to Krishna. I'm trying to surrender to Krishna. I need help. They want help. Together, in love and trust. Srila Prabhupada said that. It sounds like some, you know, how do you say, colloquialism? Some, you know, slope, some mantra or something. On the spiritual platform, that is the reality. I love you. It's spiritual love. It's not lust. It's not exploitive. I'll love you if. No, unconditionally, Srila Prabhupada set the example. He loved all living entities. And those who would accept his shelter and guidance, especially for them, they received his gifts of love. They have been given the process. And if you please him, it may take some time before you realize these things. But Srila Prabhupada again and again has said, if you will chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day and follow these four regulated principles, I promise I will take you back home to Godhead at the end of this life. Do I need to repeat that? He said it countless times. It may seem difficult in the beginning, but what a small price to get out of this miserable temporary world. We have to read the scriptures so that we know what the alternative is. You go there, you never return here. You will be completely satisfied. Everyone there, everything there is spirit. There is no imperfection. There is no suffering. There is no temporariness. It's what we're all looking for in the wrong place, in this world, in this body, according to the pushings of this mind. We'll never find it. Give it up, as we heard yesterday. That's what the acharyas, that's what the Lord Chaitanya is saying. Krishna is saying, give it up. Just try and please me. Surrender to me. The parents that assist in that, they are true parents. They get the benefit. We owe our parents who gave us the human form a great debt. But even higher debt is to the Lord and the representatives of the Lord. They are giving us eternal life. Our relationship with Krishna will never be snatched away. My father and mother, I have no clue where they are. They're no longer in the body that I knew of, that loved me. The guidance I got from them, I wish I had time to explain, not that extensive. My father, not even worth mentioning what he told me to do. You'd laugh if I told you the one instruction he shared with me. Well, why not? A kid kicked me in the face one time. An older kid, a bully on the block. You know what my father said? And this is the one instruction I remember. He said, take a baseball bat and beat the crap out of him. Now, with a cultured audience like this, you wonder, you know, wow. I'm surprised you're a devotee. But the spiritual master, the scriptures, they are true father. They're saying, get out of here. Leave this place. If you're attached to gambling, gamble one life. Giving it to Krishna and his representatives. Giving to Krishna means giving to Guru. Eva Abhigachet, you have to accept the guidance of the Guru. Because scripture is so vast. Many scholars of the scripture, Vedic scriptures included, they would argue all scriptures point to surrender to Krishna and getting out of this world. They'd argue up and down. They don't see the big picture. They don't know that Krishna is giving facility for all living entities to gradually come back home to Godhead. Forget the gradual progress, the program. One life. Give it to the instructions of Guru. Develop your love for the devotees. Let them nurture you. Let them encourage you. If they perceive you care, you accept them, you are grateful for who they are in their attempts to serve Krishna, they will reciprocate in kind. Those more qualified, you get much, much more in return. The spiritual master, we should offer dakshin. He's given us initiation. He gives us transcendental knowledge. What can we give him? A few bucks? He doesn't care. He wants to see us happy. to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and be happy. A devotee, he can be happy in this world. The pains and pleasures, they don't affect him because he knows it's not him. Push it, shove it, hit it, lop off, insult it, starve it. All these things affect the body, affect the mind, not the spiritually realized person. Has nothing to do with you and I. We are meant to hear this daily, repeatedly, repeatedly. If we're married, amongst our families. If we're single, with our Prabhus. That's why we come to Bhagavatam every morning. Because we have to beat down that wicked mind which is telling us other than surrender to Krishna. When we use the body in service, eventually the mind will follow. When the mind is absorbed in the service of Krishna, simply wanting to please Krishna and his devotees, then one realizes oneself, one's nature, one's identity. When we say Brahman, that means second birth. There are different statuses of Brahman. You have some who claim to be Brahman just by birth. My dad and mom were a Brahman. I'm a Brahman. We don't have that in our movement. I guess the closest thing that could be was I have a son. My mom and dad are devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I'm a devotee, and he is, but it's up to each devotee to personally embrace this surrendering process, the shelter of the spiritual master, and to voluntarily go for it with all of one's efforts. Some they become Brahmins on the bodily platform. They develop these qualities of sama, dhamo, tikshava, jnana, etc. That's the mode of goodness. We are being offered so much more. A true Brahmin is one who realizes he's not the body. And even amongst those Brahmins, if you're not a devotee of Krishna, time won't allow me to quote Padma Purana. If a Brahmin is not a devotee of Krishna, he will not deliver himself, what to speak of his family or anybody else. And one who is a Brahmin, even if he was born in the lowest of cultures, uncivilized families, lowest caste, not to misrepresent it, but the lowest birth, if he becomes a devotee, that person is worshipable. That's what's being offered to us. A devotee of Krishna automatically, one who has realized Krishna, automatically understands or realizes Paramatma and Brahman. What to speak of all the qualities that make life in this world so smooth and easy. See, follow the principles, chant 60 rounds. We'll go back to God at no problem. Maybe in the last days, the last hours, who knows? The gift, it will be given. The promise is there. It's a contract. Keep our end. Prabhupada and his representatives will keep their end. But if we develop the qualities of soul, the qualities of love and trust, it makes life so much easier. It makes Krishna consciousness so much more exciting. And you have the ability to be used as an instrument to enthuse others in Krishna consciousness. These scriptures and the guidance of the spiritual master are so important. I think I'll end with a quote of Srila Prabhupada. It's a letter to Bhagavan Prabhu, November 1970. He said, "Yes, we are fighting impersonalism and voidism with pure devotional service. Impersonalism and voidism kills the natural aptitude of devotion, which is lying dormant in everyone's heart. Therefore, we are printing books like our Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so that people may know it, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. The perfection of every living creature is to render transcendental loving service to that Supreme Person and thereby go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita that whoever explains my transcendental glories to others is most dear to me in this world, and never will there be one more dear to me than he. Despite our disqualifications, if we will assist he who is most dear to the Lord, Krishna sees that, is grateful for that, the spiritual master never forgets acts of service, assisting him in spreading Krishna consciousness, big or small, never forgets. And his gratitude can be given in such an unlimitedly wonderful gift of taking us back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada said, take advantage of this chanting, take advantage of these books, of Pashadam, of devotee association. Chant and be happy and go back home to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Are there any questions or comments? If you want to leave, certainly you may. Yes, Prabhu. Be concise.
Krishna, Pooja, you told that if we eat meat, then we lose the austerity. And
yes.
And we drink, intoxicate, then we lose the
mercy.
But I have heard opposite. So
yes.
Can you explain it?
But if you want to go to the 7th chapter of first canto and read what Srila Prabhupada says, if he says that in any other place, then it's okay to repeat it in that way also. Because it seems to make sense, right? Seems to make sense. But we listen and accept the words, and my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Guru knows the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada, we're Prabhupada Nugas in this society. Our understanding of scripture is how he has presented it. If we repeat what he says, his potency can come through, and he can help us and help others. Anybody else? Yes, Ganga.
So if we still are doing all this that you were saying, no? But we are hearing every day, we are not this body, we are not this mind.
If we're doing everything you say, but?
We know we are not this body and the mind, all intellectual, but what is the next step to really put it in practice? To realize it.
What a wonderful question. Does everybody hear the question?
No.
We hear, we understand we're not the body. We're trying to do that which we are told to do in devotional service for Krishna. So we will realize it. But it hasn't happened. What can we do to make it happen? Such a nice question. Is that close enough? You never know which mantra, attentive chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. You never know which kirtan. You never know which selfless act of surrendered service to Guru, Vaishnavas, and the Lord will be the one that the Guru says, take this knowledge, take this realization. You never know. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Utsahanis Yadaya, enthusiasm, patience, and confidence. Prabhupada, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he interchanges confidence with determination. Have full faith in these words of the Lord and his representatives. Be patient, but enthusiastically, determinedly, I see the goal, I'm praying for the goal. Fact of the matter is, personally speaking, the chances of me personally measuring up to what is expected of me, what is being offered to me, it's very slim. But our guru, our association, the Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, are so unlimitedly merciful. It's not like you and me. I don't like how you look. Some places I've been where, don't come in the temple. You know, looking at the externals. I can say it because the Prabhu's not in here. One devotee came up and encouraged me. He said something. And this Prabhu happens to have a feature in which the devotee was able to criticize. You know, Srila Prabhupada doesn't like that. I won't say what it was, but you get the idea. And so he focused in on his perception of how the person was failing to measure up to the standard. I told him, I see him and I'm reminded of Lord Chaitanya. I might as well say, nice, beautiful, long, curly hair. What? We're meant to be grateful for whatever extent devotees or any others are surrendering. That is very conducive to being fertile recipient for getting, for receiving the mercy. Just like these scriptures. Why? What's the fourth offense in chanting Hare Krishna? Anybody? Don't. No, that's the first offense. To blasting the Vedic literature, any literature in pursuance of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada in this purport said, Buddhist scriptures, Bible, Quran, they're all in pursuance. Why is that offense given there? Because it's the tendency of one who has not realized his spirit soul to think you're better than others. I'm better. The religion of my choice is obviously better than your religion. That type of intellectual acceptance, that superficial acceptance of serving God, causes so much suffering personally and for others. Just stick with the process as it is. And when you think, I'm not advancing, and this goes for the leaders, if any leaders are listening, we've been kicking the can down the road for I don't know how long, one of these issues, philosophical issues, are trying to figure out. What's the advice for any devotee who is having difficulty in their spiritual life? Take shelter of an advanced devotee. Get instruction and follow those instructions. That applies for the individual. It applies for our movement as a whole. If you Prabhus can't figure it out, get together. Heck, forget the meetings. Associate for a month. Hearing and chanting. And I guarantee after a month, you sincere, elevated Vaishnavas will figure out who has the most realization. You ask someone who's spiritually realized. That's what common sense means. That's what it means to have intelligence to lead others. It's spiritual realization, spiritual intelligence. You ask them, what's difficult? Prabhupada would say, what's the difficulty? If you're spiritually realized, there is no difficulty. And when you have difficulty, you take shelter in your senior association. So whether one's an individual or a leader, it's the same. And you check the basics. If this microphone goes out, he knows what to do. Or maybe it became unplugged. That's the first thing you look. Did my computer come unplugged? Get back the basics. Always cover the basics. And then you go from there. If you can add, if you can improve quality, wonderful. If you can improve quality, quantity, even better. Ultimately, we try our best. That's all that's expected. Try your best. That'll be different than his best, than my best. Each individual, try their best. The spiritual master, the Lord, being spiritually realized, obviously, they are grateful for such surrender. Does that make sense? It's okay? Anybody else? You've been very patient with me this last 2.5 months. I'm grateful for your association, your examples. Probably won't hear me speak again this time around in English, so I ask that you forgive my stepping on your toes for not showing the best example, etc. And I ask that you would pray that the Vaishnavas and my spiritual master be kind upon me, so I can soon be back in your association. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ke, Srila Prabhupada ke, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ke, Gaur Premanande.